kids lost their lunch on that roller coaster you built.
I thought they'd like the 17 loop-de-loops.
Introducing Roller Coaster Tycoon. Build the amusement park of your dreams with rides and coasters that'll blow your mind.
There's plenty to eat in your park,
but where are your bathrooms?
Gee, I knew I forgot something. Place bathrooms and concession stands to keep your customers happy.
I doubled the bathrooms, built some incredible new roller coaster rides, and lowered ticket prices.
Yeah!
Tourists.
Get on Roller Coaster Tycoon, now for PC CD-ROM.
Oh.
Oh, PC CD-ROM, fancy.
Oh.
Small platter disc.
Uh-huh. I'm excited. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro, and I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I sure hope I don't barf on your poorly designed roller coaster. I ate a lot of cotton candy, so things are looking a little dicey.
Ooh, you must have played the same game I did, because I'm your other host, Brian Dunnerwin. Woo! Wee! Ah! Do it again! Do it again! Click, 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 click. Woo! I think I'm going to be sick! Again! That's what I did all week. Wee! And you know, after I quit, and then I went outside.
Oh, good.
To get my feet back underneath me, that's how this action happens in this game.
That's how people tell you to do. They tell you to go touch grass. That's the hot thing to say now is touch grass.
Yeah, touch grass. You got to go get one with the earth.
Yeah, go become one with it. But become one with us as we talk about Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2 today. We'll start in 99 and we will work our way up.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about, if you stay tuned, we'll talk about how the many ways you can play it and the right way to play it. And the also wrong way to play it, like mm-hmm. I did this week.
Apparently, there is absolutely a wrong way to play. Also,
no, there's different ways.
Let this wash over you a little bit here. Just the feeling of being in a carnival atmosphere, you know?
Yeah.
People on rides and buying, like, corn dog shit and that sort of thing.
Corn dog shit. You're walking around. There's funnel cake waffing in the air.
Yep.
You're waiting for the screams. You know they're coming.
Yeah, they're going to be
Wee.
Here. But before we get into any of that today, it's so funny when you do we or woo, it does that, Discord does that cut off the high parts
does it
thing.
Cut me off?
Yeah, because it thinks you're hitting a pitch nobody wants to hear during a raid or whatever.
They so don't want to hear it, but you know what?
Leroy Jenkins! See, it only lost a little of that. You're fine. You're good.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about this real quick. So, you know how, I don't think we talked about it maybe briefly here, but I talked about it a bunch on the Daily Tech News Show a week ago that, iOS was opening up the doors to game emulation on, Apple devices again and on the store. And the reason they were doing this was a couple of complicated things were going on, but one of them, or the main one, was the European Union passed some additional legislation that required them to be more open about how certain things can get on the store. And so a lot of these developers who've been working on apps and stuff and mostly on sideload type stuff where you got to, you know, hack your phone to get it to work right, got on it quick. And I used one that everybody said was the bomb called Delta Emulator for the iOS.
Ooh,
put it on my phone. Here is the cool thing about this thing. Not only does it feature a ton of overlay controller stuff for the screen. I mean, your mileage may vary on how much you can stand using a touchscreen for stuff like this. I understand it's not optimal. I prefer my Embernic. That's not really my point. My point is these devices are obviously very capable, right? They could push a lot of older stuff. So they have, you know, some of them look like N64 controller set and some of them look like NES buttons. And there's a bunch of variety there. But what they've done is made this extremely easy, especially if you're an iCloud user. Basically, I can take my ROMs. My legally stripped ROMs.
Right.
And I can put, let's just say I got 10 NES ROMs. All right.
Right.
I can put those in a folder right here on my Mac. Boop. They're just in. And it will, then I can go to that app and the app says, you know, add some ROMs. I hit plus. I go to that same shared folder. They're all there. I pull them in. They're playing. We're done. It's that simple.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that's how it worked with the iCloud because I was curious. Because downloading emulators, I've done it before, and you know, and I've sideloaded stuff on my iPhone before. I haven't done that in a long time, but yeah, so that's how you do it. You do it through the iCloud. I mean, that's super easy.
It's super simple and was just no problem to do. And I kind of expected to have to go through some hoops because people could use this for illegal ROMs. I totally get it. And I figured Apple doesn't want that kind of heat from Nintendo and others.
Makes sense.
But it really does work. It's like it's a little like comic book readers on an iPad. You've been able to do this forever. If you have ripped versions of your comics in PDF format or CBK or whatever the hell that other comic book format is, you can just pull them into these apps. I have something called Panels that does that. And it's also true that if you go to, I don't know, Pirate Bay or something and download a stack of comics that aren't yours to own, you can do this exact same thing. And they've been getting away for that for, I don't know, 10 years or something. So no reason you can't do this with ROM. So anyway, I really like that one. I think there is an Android equivalent for Delta, but
there,
I didn't look.
There is.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and you can actually download the APK, and I think you can actually download it from the actual store, too, to be honest with you. I don't know that for a fact, but I did do a little peeking around, and this is mostly an emulator for Nintendo stuff, like the Game Boy Advance, the N64, the SNES, and that type of stuff, right?
That's all I've used so far. I don't know. I assumed I could do some Genesis stuff, but I don't know if I can or not.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know of anything except for that. So that sounds good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I need to dig deeper. I'll probably have a little more to say about this next week, but I was pretty excited when you sent me.
And it's free, by the way, this Delta thing.
It's free.
Let's see. I'll pull it up real quick here.
Wait, does that mean I'm the product?
It means you are the product, dude. Oh, it also does it straight from iTunes /Apple.
I don't like
Music.
That it's free, but it makes sense, I suppose. What do I got to do? How do I have to give these people some money so they don't steal my information instead? You can ask the app not to track me, right? What else can you do?
You can do that. This app doesn't track you, though. This is like some super free thing. There's no ads. It's just somebody made an emulator, and it freaking works. And it uses cores.
Brian,
it has controller
Brian
options.
Shows.
Like, let's see. Let's see. Game. Oh, you can. Oh, I didn't know this, dude. This just made it more interesting.
Right.
I can. I can use any Bluetooth or MiFi enabled controller. Ooh.
Oh, now see, that really interests me because I do like my iPhone, and it makes sense if the screen where it's displaying the graphics is in a small square box, that should leave plenty enough of real estate left on my phone for buttons and that type of thing, which would be similar to, you know, a Game Boy or something in that format. But yeah, I don't like overlay screens, so I would definitely need a secondary controller for me to be happy.
It's got all the cores you need. You're right, it looks like it's Nintendo stuff only. So it does NES through DS. So NES, Super
DS,
Nintendo.
You got into two screens then. That would work well.
That's pretty cool.
Touchscreen. Yeah.
And it does, let's see. Oh, there's a sync service that's just called Delta Sync that lets you sync your saves between devices. So
oh,
that's cool.
Maybe that's where their money's gonna be at. Surely they're not just offering syncing that for free.
You just turn it on.
All right, I'm downloading it right now. It's called the Delta app, and we get nothing for this, by the way. We're just
It's not there. Okay, you can enable syncing, but it will use either Google Drive or Dropbox.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah,
which everybody already has something like that anyway. So you're actually just using existing services. This thing just is a free freaking deal.
I don't. I'm a.
I know you're skeptical. I can tell, but. I'm telling you.
You know me. Yeah. I'm like, why is it free? What are you getting out of it?
Sometimes people just make cool shit because they want. And you know what? Retro people and preservation people, they're a lot more likely to not try to screw you. That's the right.
I trust preservation people who post stuff lots of times. But then But I want them to make some money because these are developers. And do they have like a Patreon page or something here? I'm trying
they
to
might.
Look name.
If they don't, they have...
here we go. Shane Gill is operations. Riley Testet.
Yeah.
Really, that's the developer. I love that. Caroline Moore is a graphic designer. Okay.
Yeah, and you can send them, you know, a tip or whatever, however you want to do it. You know, there's ways to PayPal people and that sort of thing.
My privacy policy here.
Yeah. What do they say about that? Are they...
I don't know. I'm reading. Allstore.io. What is that? Side loading for everyone. Okay, that's something else.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll dig deeper.
Cool though, right?
Tom Merritt makes me paranoid.
Does he?
I'm just kidding.
Why?
I don't know why I always attribute my desire to know where the profit is coming from, but I don't know if Tom said something at some point in time but every time I think it, I'm like, what would Tom do? And I'm like,
I don't know. He is somebody who will not jump to any conclusion. He'll dig deep and find out for himself.
He's got
to
know everything.
So there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah,
I say do that.
Respect.
Okay.
Respect.
My wife just called and doesn't know I have shows at this time of day. So I'm going to send her
Aww.
A note and say,
hi, honey.
Hi.
I have a show.
I love you, and I am on a show. And
look, I want to give a shout out to the people who are listening and who are retro gamers and retro content creators, and say thank you to the people who are around us who deal with us constantly going, let's go look at some old shit.
Mm.
And they just go, okay. Like my significant other is going to probably be okay with me going to record store day tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to go do that? What are you going to nab? Are you looking for something or what?
I had completely forgotten about it because I was trying to. And then Brian Ibbett of Coverville, also one of our other producers on the Frog Pants Network, had mentioned it. And I was like, oh, man, now I've been reminded. So now I must go. So I don't even know what's out there right now. So
I didn't even know you were. I didn't realize you were like a fan of the day.
I got so much vinyl. I love vinyl. I don't have crazy amounts of vinyl, but I've got a lot.
Yeah, a bit. You like to, that's as retro as you get.
Especially, we've had some people in our community on the Discord server, specifically, was sharing some stuff this past week where they had picked up some kind of Mario, maybe Mario Kart music on vinyl. I'm not remembering it correctly, but I do know that they found it at some kind of store. And so I was like, oh, shoot, that's one of my favorite things is old school retro video game music on vinyl. Something so sexy about
it. Oh yeah, that's a good time. Well, yeah. Let us know next week what you picked up, will you?
I will let us know.
I will let us know.
Get some green. Let us know.
Okay, let it snow. Got it.
Yeah.
Let us know. Brian, what'd you get up to this week? Anything fun? Anything cool?
Yeah. So we talked pre-show about my one of the topics I was going to talk about, which was the different Ambernic models. But if you're a patron supporter and you can flop back there and read all about that. If you have questions about your Ambernics, just let us know. We're always welcome to answer it. But I did stop by on the way home from the thrift store, speaking of which,
yeah.
And I found this nice green bag. And I'm like, what is this green bag? That's kind of nice. It's kind of heavy. And I opened it up and I was like, ooh, it's Fit board, which, you know, that the I find these a pretty good bit. It's no big deal. But this has got a nice cover on it. First, I thought it was all dirty and gross. But then I realized, oh, that's like a plastic cover.
Mm.
Now, I did find one thing that I really liked that was in here and I just dropped. So I got to pick it up. It was a nice little prize. It's great that you played that because look what was in this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Look at the Mies.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It is a Wii Fit Plus bag, I guess, so you could take to your home gym. I guess you had to pack your own stuff in it. I don't know, but this is from the official Club Nintendo. I guess you got this bag. So whoever owned this thing was a passionate person or got a really nice gift, which was Wii Fit Plus. And it came with this nice, look at the little.
You remember when Reggie Fils-Aimé did the whole Wii Fit is it?
Yeah,
that whole thing.
Wii Fit, you must quit.
Yeah, you must legit quit the Wii Fit.
I'm too legit to quit.
That's right. That's cool, dude. I didn't know you were even on the hunt for one. Where'd you get it?
I wasn't. I see these things all the time in the thrift stores, and this particular thrift store is one I frequent, which is for people who are homeless and trying to recover from addiction and trying to find our way back. And that's something close to my heart. My grandpa was actually an alcoholic and he was constantly needing help. And so seeing that struggle, I like to support these guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll usually go in and I'll just say, you know, how much is this? And they'll tell me this. And I'll like, here's a donation as well. I wasn't really looking for a Wii Fit board because I'm seeing them all you see them all the time.
Sure.
Out there of, you know, with some of them having the cable, some not. And you know, they're neat, but this one actually, like I said, it came with like this nice official looking Nintendo greenish color that was for the Wii Fit Plus. And it had the nice pad on it. It's the nicest one I've seen ever. I've never seen one this cool. And then it had that little bag inside. I opened it up and I was like, I saw that bag. I was like, shit, this is mine.
It's yours. You own it. Yep.
Yeah. I went up and said, how much? And he said, how much you want to give me for that piece of crap?
Yeah.
And we was just going to throw it away. And I'm like, he says $3. I was like, here's $5. I was like, okay, let's go. Let's roll.
Wow. But, all right.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
But you know, if you want one of these though,
yeah,
definitely go to your thrift stores and find one, because if you need a Wii Fit board and you order it off eBay, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. These things are super heavy.
Yeah. No, they were never just a light piece of plastic. That's for sure. Cause they had to hold your weight and stuff. They had to be, you know,
yeah.
All that.
They had a Wii Fit it.
Real quick here, I wanted to show you this. I downloaded a game. for this device for Delta. See, I put a little standard little D-pad A-B button down there. This is the GBA version of Super Mario Advanced 4, which was actually Super Mario Brothers 3, but remastered. I love that game. Anyway, oh, wow. It's got haptic feedback, dude. Here, let's hear the sound on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, so that's what I wanted. Just the way you're showing it right now is exactly what I was wanting, and they delivered, it looks like.
You know what? This haptic really helps with the whole button thing.
It really
would. I didn't turn it on before now. I did this time. So anyway, I'm just going to run here. Let's just go World 1. I wonder if your saves from, like, RetroArch and stuff are savable. I don't know.
I don't know. And, like, yeah, retro achievements and that kind of stuff. I got to dig a little deeper. I want to know.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. You know what? This is pretty good, dude. The buttons are haptic, so they give you some feedback when you hit them, and it feels like you're hitting buttons.
That's perfect.
Weird. All right. You know what? I'll give this a big run for its time and really, like, so I can truly recommend or not. Oh, shit. I'm screwed with this. This is not good. Having that on my phone, that's bad. That's bad.
That's a bad thing. Instant access.
That'll fit in my pocket because it already does.
It already does. And it's already with me, always.
All right. Again, that's Delta for those looking. Let's dive into the show proper and our main topic today.
Shall we play a game?
Damn straight. It's not even a word. I made it up here on the fly. We're going to talk about games, and the game we're going to talk about today is a twofer. It's Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2. These games came out 99 and 2002. That was the difference. They really kind of don't look that different. They kind of look like the same exact game, in my opinion.
It's pretty much the same. I mean, aesthetically speaking, it looks the same. It plays the same. There's some few improvements for two, but I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah,
it's pretty much.
Do you have any specific affinity for the series before we get too deep into what it is and where it came from?
Yes. As you know, I am an old school demo fool, and I love getting free crap. And I never went and purchased Roller Coaster Tycoon at the store retail wise because I wasn't really into simulations in 1999. Mm-hmm. I would be shortly because The Sims would come out. But I wasn't really into it. But I did get one of these. I want to say it was attached to a box of Chex Mix, like on the back or on the inside. I can't remember, but it feels like that's how I got my hands on it, was through a box of cereal. And weird. Once I loaded it up, I loved it, and I got addicted for a short time. The Sims was a much bigger addiction for me personally, but the Roller Coaster Tycoon definitely spoke to me, and I played tons of it. And
well, Sims was huge, man. Sims was like impossible to ignore. We should probably do The Sims at some point because that's over 20 years now, you know?
Yeah, because I was playing that in, what, 2001? Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
That came out also in 99 originally.
Did it come out in 99 as well?
First Sims did, yeah. And it is... I mean, The Sims changed the world. That's a game that you can't ignore. Like,
yeah, and that goes to show you that we were right on the. If you look at Roller Coaster Tycoon and you look at the aesthetics of it, you know, it's top down. Asymmetric? What's the word I'm looking for?
Isometric.
Isometric. Yep. There's the words.
Sure.
And it really looks like an old game just from the get go for 1999. But it is such a beautiful, the details are insane, the number of small little pixels that are rendered in this game. It is absolutely crazy.
No, it is crazy.
How dense it is.
It's very dense. A lot going on. It's probably the first game I played that was a proper tycoon management game, I think, back then. Because prior to that, I don't think I would have... I just can't think of anything else I played. I'm sure someone at some point will say, well, wait, didn't you play this in 97 or 6? And I go, oh, okay, sure, I guess I did.
But you didn't make note of it, right?
No, I didn't make any note of it. And I would have remembered it because it would have sounded like this. Oh, you're going up. Oh, you're at the top. So that's what you would have been greeted with. MicroProse involved in this. Who was the other one?
What was that now?
Who was it?
MicroProse. Oh, yeah. MicroProse. So this was, remember Sid Meier?
Sid Meier, right? Yeah.
He helped establish that MicroProse. And Hasbro Interactive, is that who
That's
was there
who it was.
The
Hasbro,
It was eventually Atari. Now it's all Atari all the time, but I believe it was Hasbro and MicroProse. those who got it started here.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. It is pretty great. The idea, of course, is this, you know, take the reins of your own amusement park. All right. And there's you can play kind of an open sandbox version of the game, or you can play the sort of built-in campaign thing. Think of any city builder or sim game, Sim City, The Sims itself. A game since then, like what's the recent ones? The school one and the hospital Planet. One. What was the hospital one?
Yeah, theme hospital. So this wasn't the Roller Coaster Tycoon by Chris Sawyer, single programmer, by the way, in assembly. Madness. This guy made this game do more than it should have been able to do. Yeah. Where was I going with that? Because I mentioned Chris Sawyer, and I couldn't.
I don't know. It was somewhere rails. Big. You were heading somewhere cool. You were saying. I think it wasn't the first one. Yeah, it wasn't the first
theme
one.
Theme park. Yeah. Right. Railroad Tycoon was, of course, where they were thinking. They were like, oh, well, Chris Sawyer's already doing Transport Tycoon, and now we can, you know, there's been Railroad Tycoon, and theme park was hitting pretty big right before then. Mm-hmm. So then you walk right into this, and what makes this special is just the sheer amount of control that comes in this game. If you want to know, you know, what who it inspired later, Minecraft, because they took huge inspiration from this, you know, basically building almost a game engine with that allows an individual to build their own thing inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's what Roller Coaster Tycoon does. It allows you to just, you just go nuts. You got every option, anything you could think of. It's like playing a game with a bunch of buttons and switches, and you can fiddle and fart around everything you want to. Mm-hmm. Will you lose? Not really, because there's scenarios that you can do. Like, you'll open a theme park and the goal will be like, through one park season, you need to get like a park rating of 600. Mm-hmm. And you need to have, you know, X number of 250 guests who are in the park at any point in time.
Right.
And
you
know,
you have goals like that. And the way those goals work is you can fail those goals, but only in time. It's like, oh, well, shit, I don't have 250 people yet. What am I doing wrong? Oh, let me scrap this end of the park and let me redo this. And then you'll eventually get to your goal. There's no fail state of like, I got to get out, I got to quit. And that's what I think I liked about it. It's what I like about modern versions of this. It's less about do it in a time frame or be perfect in the first design or else you're screwed. It's here's a sandbox. Build the castle. Oh, shoot, your castle has a bad foundation. That's okay.
Right.
Redo your castle. It's fine. And just keep working at it until you get your goals. Exactly. And the open version of the game, or the sandbox way of playing it,
right?
There's just no... It's just you deciding how you want to build your thing. Obviously, the focus in this game is way more on the coasters than it is almost anything else, hence the name.
Yeah.
And if there was one part of the game that I didn't like, it was the I know it's called Roller Coaster Tycoon, but the focus on roller coasters is a little fiddly sometimes. It's a little tricky to sort of just keep track of it all. You're in a 2D plane. You're not working in 3D here. 3D iterations of this game now... More modern versions of the game, I think, are better in that regard, because they're things I can zoom around through and see them from different angles and all of this. And in this case, I just couldn't. You could flip it, 45 degrees at a time or 90 degrees at a time,
right?
In this game, but it wasn't enough for me. I didn't like that.
Yeah, this is quality of life improvements that would come later on. But the way it was designed was to give you as much control as possible. However, it's not a fast acting game. So you would think with something like this, there would be a bunch of keyboard shortcuts, right? You're like, oh, you'll just click, 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 click. You know, I'm going to interface. But no, there's a lot of painstakingly slow construction. So once you get beyond doing the actual, you know, basically the theme part of it, like if you can set up a merry-go-round, which is like the first thing I always do whenever I start a park, is you want to get something there with some music, and it starts up right away, and you can play the music and it makes you feel like you're at a park. And then I'll usually move on to something a little more complex, like a roller coaster. You can usually choose between things that are already pre-designed, or you can make your own. And that's where the fun in this game really comes into play. In the details of putting your own coaster together, but also can be a big pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Because each piece of track has to be laid by choosing the path, the height of which direction it's going in, whether it needs a pull chain at that part. And then you have to choose how much curvature is in each section. And there's only so many things you can do in that part. And you just kind of have to like click buttons, click, yep. click, click, yep. click. And it's real painstakingly slow, but it's very satisfying if you get it right, which I usually did not.
Yeah.
How many death coasters did you build, Scott?
Oh, I've killed people left and right. I'm surprised I didn't get sued out of the park. That's the other thing is the game. The game encourages you to be creative without too much downside of wiping out 10 people on a coaster that doesn't work right, you know?
Yeah.
Like what this game eliminates is all the testing, all of the verification, all of the security, all of the inspection stuff. You don't do any of that shit. You just build a thing I hope this works.
You're supposed to, you do have a mode for testing, and you're supposed to test it before you put real people on it. I can see now Scott.
You don't have to, like though.
I can see Scott plays this like he played The Sims, where you lock somebody in a bathroom and wait until their bladder explodes. So, yeah, Scott's just like, test, we don't need no test.
Yeah, who
but
needs
yeah,
a test?
Ideally, you would test your coaster to test it for like intensity and excitement, because those are kind of some things that are going to determine whether or not they got to go puke. In your park, and how many people you're going to have walking around cleaning up puke in your park. I had a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot of hires for that.
I have a ton of pukers that also, but that helps you because that helps you go, all right, well, maybe I shouldn't have so many loops in this ride, but also maybe I need bathrooms closer to the thing so people can yak in the bathrooms. But then you realize, well, nobody wants to go to a park where they puke the whole time. So maybe just make a better ride. And it's fun to scrap stuff, start over. You get money back when you scrap things. So the resources you spent aren't really spent. You can get them back if you need to. I like that.
I was curious about that. I didn't dig too deep. Now, if you want to find people who have dug too deep, because there are so many levels of complexity in this game that it's not always obvious the impact of your choices. So one of the things I was curious about is like, okay, is it always exactly the same amount of money returned to me? And also you have a running total each month that passes by, which is your, I think we did mention the coaster seasons, March to October.
No.
As it passes by each month, you know, you got a little tally of how much you're making, how much you're spending, that kind of stuff. And you also have a loan calculator. So there's loans, super cheap loan, by the way, in 1999, the interest rates were outrageously low.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't know all the factors, but it's a lot of fun going on to YouTube and different places. This is probably the most content I've ever seen for any game we've played so far, because so many people are discussing things like, where exactly do you put the bathrooms? What kind of impact does that have on the people? What happens if you put the food receptacle places in certain places? Should you put trash cans places? Should you put park benches? Because not all that stuff is discussed in the nice little manual you get for Roller Coaster Tycoon, nor is it explained in the very short, brief tutorial. And so some of us just discovering it along the way, which is kind of half the fun, right?
Yeah, it's
just
most
discovering
of the fun.
What works and what doesn't.
Now, this thing that's free, I know we're jumping around a little bit here, but there's like a free thing that people are playing now that is this old school kind of way of playing this game. If I wanted to right now, Brian, because I didn't mess with this or even look at it much. I know you fiddled with it a little bit more. But can I stop everything and go, you know what? I'm going to go play Roller Coaster Ask a Tycoon, and it's called, what's it called? Open RCT2?
Yes, Open RCT2 kind of picks up where Roller Coaster Tycoon left off and then improves a whole bunch of things, the quality of life stuff, like Scott was talking about earlier, like, he didn't like just the three levels of zoom, because your parts can get very hard to see once they get to a certain size as far as what's going on and a lot of activity going on. And this allows you to zoom out much further, zoom in much closer, and allows you to give you all these quality of life things like speed ups. You couldn't speed up the original Roller Coaster Tycoon. So that was kind of a bad thing in some of the scenarios. If you're like, okay, I've got to accomplish this, and I started getting better, and I went back and played the scenarios, and I was like, oh, Jesus, I finished the scenario in the first 2 months. And mm-hmm. Do I follow this through and watch it the rest of the way, or I just quit?
Mm.
Because you can't speed it up. In the Open RCT2, you do. Now, Open RCT2 is a community project. It doesn't have any of the original assets and things stored on it. So you have to have the Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 to be able to play it. If you purchase the one that is on sale currently, which is the Roller Coaster Tycoon. Let me make sure I get this right before I tell you, because there's a million of these damn things. If you go to Steam or Good Old Games, you'll see Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic and you'll see Deluxe.
Yeah.
They're both on super sale right now.
Yeah.
One of them just includes the original game and the two expansion packs.
Okay.
And then the Deluxe, I believe, or the other way around. Then the other one includes, okay, that's this way. Classic is the one you want. It has the first, it has both the first two games plus the expansions. The Deluxe only includes the original.
Okay.
Yeah, only includes the original with the two add-on packs, which is not going to work with OpenRCT2 because it needs the Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 engine for some things.
Right, right. No, that makes sense.
But this is the, if you're going to play it, don't do like I did. I went out and I went to archive.org, found the cereal box version that somebody had ripped of the first one. Then I fired up my Win98 emulator. Is it PCEM? That's the one I used.
Yeah.
I didn't use...
You didn't use your... okay, I was curious. So if you're going to use that same stuff you've been using lately, but something else, eh?
Yeah, no. I used my PCEM because it was just the easiest way to do it with this particular version. It allows you to emulate the hardware level of a Pentium 233 processor. And so I said, perfect, that's a good time to do it. And then I installed it and I played it. And it was pretty good. It's pretty... Even through emulation, because Chris Sawyer made this thing... Like, he did it in assembly, which is like one step removed from freaking, speaking of zeros and ones. And it is so optimized. It ran great. But I didn't like the fact that I couldn't zoom in and zoom out like I wanted to. So that's when I said I'm going back to OpenRCT2, which you can install on Windows 10, 11, and
Mac. You can play that. You can play that now. Everything. You can just get in there and play. And I think that's what I'm going to try this week. I didn't mess with it here. I just emulated the old game. Yeah. I wanted to feel the old experience. It's also available on various stores and stuff, so you can get it on Good Old Games. And I think Steam has a version. Mine's on GOG. For two, anyway. I didn't try one. I think 2 is a better game. Better 2 is just a smoother experience. It just feels refined. Like a lot of sequels, they got, they learn stuff.
Two was also fairly well received. 1, of course, got lots of kudos. 2 didn't get as many people just confirmed and said, yes, it's still a great game, but it's more like a content add-on. It's not really that much of an improvement there, but there are some small little improvements like a little better AI, and the AI works a little bit better. I think it's a little easier to build things underground. Like in the first one, it was complicated because you would have to, do more digging and trying to focus on that stuff. And I think only the roller coasters actually went underground. I don't think anything else could be placed any lower. Like you couldn't put like a underground, ride or something that wasn't a coaster. You couldn't have like a carousel underground. Whoa!
Yeah.
But I think in the second one you could stack like scenery and stuff. So like if you built like in the tutorial of like the little, have you ever been to a park where you can get on the old timey cars and ride on a rail? You hop in, you let your kids drive. It's like, hey kids, you want to drive?
Yeah, they're like, the they used to do. We had one at our local thing here called Lagoon where it was like old cars, and I forgot that it was like a gas station, and you get these little old ass cars and then drive around with like up city or whatever.
Kids are so excited because you're like, they start driving like, this is shit. Mm-hmm. I'm on a track.
Yeah.
But anyway, like on stuff like that, you can build something. Then you can build you can build multiple levels. Like you can build an enclosure so that part of the ride goes through it, and that's supposed to increase the excitement level or the enjoyment level for your characters. And so there's some quality of life, but not a whole bunch. It's still pretty much the first one. The one big thing I didn't realize, I thought that Roller Coaster Tycoon went out and said, "Hey, Six Flags, we want to use some of your parks to put in here."
Yeah.
And Six Flags like, all right. No, it actually was the opposite. If from what I understand, Six Flags licensed. So I guess I don't know who approached who, but I think Six Flags gave Roller Coaster Tycoon a little bit of cash injection.
Interesting.
To be included.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought, I figured it was the other way around as well, because that's usually what you do when you're small, especially back then. Nobody, you know, games and how your properties, you know, would get featured in a game. Nobody was thinking this way about that stuff.
Nobody's thinking it was the opposite of what you should have. But now, once again, all right, full disclosure, I don't know that for a fact. That's just what I was reading. Yeah. I read that on the internet and I can't even find the source now. So whatever.
Yeah.
But I was pretty excited to be playing some Six Flags stuff, because I lived, you know, just a couple hours away from Six Flags, went there many times as I was growing up. And so it was fun to be able to imagine making my own Six Flags or recreating one. They actually do have some Six Flags that were already exist, and you just start the park up there as a scenario, and you jump in and you make your own changes.
That's
awesome. So, Scott, what's your theory when you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah.
There's a couple different ways to make money.
Yeah.
You can charge a park entrance, and or you can charge a ride fee. Now, all the parks I've usually gone to, I prefer to go to a park that has one entrance fee and then all the rides are free. I don't like to pay additional money once I get inside.
100% agree with that. Like, you could do, there's some newer games that are called, what's that? There's it's not by these people or even Planet Coaster. Thank you. Planet Coaster lets you make some choices in that regard, that lets you do things like Disney's Fast Pass, you know, up charges for things like that. There's a lot of complicated crap in there if you choose to use it. But for me, and this is true in real life as well, I want to make a park where they go through a little entrance thing, they go through some turnstiles, they pay the $20, and they play, and they get to go do whatever the hell they want while they're in there.
Only time I want to pull my wallet out when I'm at the park is when I'm buying a giant turkey leg or an overpriced soda.
Yeah, if you're buying food or if you're in an arcade, I get that those are maybe separate things, or you're buying tickets for throwing the ball to knock the bottles down or whatever. Those kinds of things, that's fine. Those make sense to me. They're microtransactions, but your main game is the $25, $30, $50 ticket you bought at the gate. And that's how it should be.
And that's how I play Roller Coaster Tycoon as well. So I would initially, when you start, you'll see, like, I think some of the first scenarios in the first one, I think the park entrance is free at Frontier. And then when you start adding rides, it's like you have a base price. I think the carousel is like $1 or something. I'm like, bump that. And so I just put an entrance fee on and I start knocking everything down for free. I've played around a little bit with premium rides. Like, if I put a big steel roller coaster up, I may add a couple of dollars there. That's not unheard of. I've been places where they have new rides or trying to offset the cost a little bit. Yeah. It made sense to me. I'm a very practical person when I play these kind of games. And I think Chris Sawyer was too. When he started this, I don't think he even had like a passion for roller coasters, but somewhere between the time he was doing his Transportation Tycoon, which was prior to this, where it was just, you know, transports, just like what you think it is, trains, that kind of stuff. Yeah. He fell in love with roller coasters, and he's ridden, like, by the time he got through making these games and stuff, he had ridden hundreds and hundreds of roller coasters, visiting roller coasters all over the place, all over the world. This guy's got a problem.
Yeah.
He got addicted.
He's into it.
He got addicted.
Yeah.
And he brought that addiction to us. And
we're grateful for it.
I'd like to thank him for that.
Yeah. Like, it's for a lot of people, this is the high watermark. And it never got better than this. I would argue that that's not true. I also think people should give some time to Planet Coaster. And Planet Coaster, I think there's a two.
You should be glad for Planet Coaster, because we wouldn't. So that's developed by Frontier Developments, and who has staff. This includes developers who worked on the Roller Coaster Tycoon series. So there's definitely some connective tissue there.
Yep.
And did you charge people to go to your bathroom, Scott?
No, I did not do that. That is a huge dick move. Like, in real life, if you do that to me, I'm not coming to your park ever again, dude. Ever.
Yeah.
So there, let me say it this way. I like a game that gives me those options. If I want to play chaotic evil in my playthrough, I like that there's options to do this, and where you can just kind of screw your patrons and all that. But I personally can't play that way, even though I'm talking about little pixel people who don't matter to me. It's still something in my guts. It just doesn't sit right with me. So I can't do it. I can't.
So when you go to sleep, all you can hear is the screaming, but it's not from the roller coasters. No. It's from people trying to get into the bathroom for the 50 cent, right?
Yeah, exactly that. So for me, I want to be able to give the amenities that people are going to want. I want to have services, games, attractions that they want, and I want them to be safe, although I will have a good time with some crappy builds. It's fine. It's half the fun, right? And there's no there's no real reason. It's not like real people are dying, so it's kind of fun to screw around with. But really what I want is just like a really tightly run setup. I want to feel like I do this with, by the way, Zoo Tycoon, then also Planet Zoo or whatever. The Planet Coaster people also do a zoo thing.
Yeah.
They have a Jurassic Park thing. I like all these kinds of games. I love them. And when things are like peak efficiency, that's what I'm aiming for, is that. I don't think I'm very good at it, actually, but I love the feeling of, wow, this loop I've made. You know, I just realized something. This is why I love those, like, Caesar 3, Pharaoh, Middle Kingdom, all those games that I forgot the name of the developer, but the Sierra games, they were city builders, but they were like, you weren't controlling every citizen. They were just patrolling the streets, and then you would add things that would help them be better or grow their houses more or whatever. And I realized that the reason I think I like those is the same thing. You're aiming for efficient cities in an ancient setting, but efficient nonetheless. Don't have stuff too close to pollution. Don't have things next to dangerous areas. Make sure that you have walls that are high enough so that when raiders come, they can't get in. Like, that kind of thinking is this game too. And I think that's why it appeals so much to me. I really like it.
I love it. I love that you start with a certain amount of space. You build into it, and it fills up very quickly. Because when you first start, you get a scenario where you start a new, you'll start a new campaign, and it's like they're not called campaigns, but anyway, you'll start a new area, and you'll have to like, oh, do I need to expand once I get to a certain point? Because when you start using those prefabbed roller coasters, I'm not brave enough to build a wooden roller coaster that takes up almost the full size of my park. I will make a small roller coaster that'll have, you know, some hills and, you know, some turns and stuff, but it's going to be pretty quick and short. I've placed some that were huge that like almost took the whole map up, and it's like, I have to go like, oh my God, I can't even fit this thing in here. Are this the size of real coasters? It really is.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm maximum efficiency. The thing I think I was most obsessed with, at the end of this week while playing this game was trying to figure out how the hell to get the money out of those people's pockets. So the good thing is each person who's coming in has a park goer. You can click on them and you can see their thoughts. A lot of times they're not thinking anything. But one of the things I love is the fact you can see how much money they have in their pocket. You can see, this is the greatest thing, man. If this is like the most devious thing that could ever happen, if it happened in real life, if the actual park managers could look into your pockets and know how much money you have. But that's exactly what this game allows you to do. You can look to see, and it's like, oh, okay, this person paid this much money to get in, and they've spent this much money, and they had this much money in their pockets. And I could never get above like getting like 10 to 15% of their money out of their pockets. I just couldn't get above that rate. And I really felt like I should be able to get, you know, I expect these people to leave penniless.
Yeah, you want to break them.
Every damn dollar they got.
That's right. What are you even doing here? You're here for money spend. Spend it. This is Disneyland, damn it. You're going to walk out of here poor, we promise.
And no matter how many cheeseburger, soda, ice cream, cotton candy, balloon, umbrella stands, amazing rides I got, I still couldn't get people to part with but with so much money. And I think maybe one of my problems was that every time I was constantly getting awards for best value park.
Yeah.
By the way, I love getting the little awards and stuff. I was like, a best value park, and I'm like, oh, then I'm not charging enough.
No, you don't want to be the best value park because nobody will respect you. They'll go there, but you're going to
walk around going, I had a great time and I spent maximum amount of money.
Yeah. You don't want riffraff in there going there because it's cheap. You're getting the wrong clientele, man.
Yeah, that's right. But like you said earlier, though, I love everything about the game except for. I really recommend doing the open RCT too, because modern screens, when if you play this game at like 640 by 480, you're gonna be squinting. You're gonna need something that's gonna be able to scale out to full scale, which that's what open RCT 2 lets you do. And then you can really zoom in, even if it's a little bit blurry and pixelated. I'm fine with that. I'd prefer that over not being able to see. And especially when you start hide and stuff, because like you said, when you're trying to spin around and you're developing your when you're placing stuff, is sometimes difficult to see. It's like, where is this at exactly? Is this isometric? I think it goes right here. And it really helps if you can turn on the height scaling. It'll give you numbers. It'll say, like, this is how many feet it is. And oh, by the way, you can, this is totally international game, right? Because it allows you to choose whatever local measurement of height, temperature, whatever. Right. If you're a Celsius person,
good news.
Celsius on.
Yep. Guess what? If you're a dollar person, good deal. Put on dollars. You rather have British pounds. I think at the time, anyway. I don't. That's maybe it's euros now. Our RC2 maybe has euros.
Maybe.
Yen
that's
or
a good
something.
Question.
I don't know. I know that some of the more modern ones do, but anyway, you get a lot of options like that. You got to tailor your world the way you want it. If I only had one tiny complaint, it would be that I think instead of everybody working on, you know, open source versions of a big 2D world, it would be really cool if we got a new Roller Coaster Tycoon that is still this angle of top down isometric, but uses all little tiny 3D assets. Think the most recent and unfortunately disappointing for other reasons, SimCity, which had amazing graphical treatment, but gave you the feeling of I'm up above this giant city. I don't need to walk around first person. Just give me this this kind of dainty, I'm working on a tiny little diorama town, or in this case, theme park, but make it like little 3D models and I can rotate and stuff.
Yes. I love these little people walking around. I'm with you. And after Chris Sawyer, I think he did some consulting for Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, which was 3D and it's a little more modern, which is kind of outside of our play retro time frame. But once it went there, it got a little bit not as good. It didn't have the microness of it, the smallness that I love of managing little micro people and micro things. And but I'm with you. I would like to see something that could perform on today's machines.
Yep.
But give that same microness, because when we first got into 3D stuff, everything was, it was chonky and it wasn't fun. It was like, and you could ride some of this stuff as well in some of the later versions where you could like get first person kind of in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of disappointing. I miss just people screaming and then throwing me some thought bubbles of, I want something more exciting than Brian's roller twisties. Titty Twister.
What do you know about
name everything too? You name all your stuff?
I do. Oh, always.
Titty Twister.
Always. I didn't call it Titty Twister, but I would call them things like, you know, Vomit Comet and
yes,
stuff like that.
That's what I named the restrooms.
Yeah. Well, you should.
Yeah.
The Vomit Comet are the restrooms. I like doing that. I like naming my park and everything in it. And a game that lets me do that is always good. So,
and boy, you could just forget about playing the game. Just if you could just get on YouTube and just look up Roller Coaster Tycoon and look at all the crazy shit people have built over the years, like roller coasters that go on for so long that they've been on the ride for like 30 years. I mean, you could just, this game is so optimized. You can build something insanely huge. This just crazy. I watched a whole video this week on a euthanasia type of coaster that was prototyped by somebody who was like, this would be the best way to go out. You know, it's like, how humane to slowly lose consciousness until you die from the corkscrews of G-forces. But man, you can deep dive so deep into this thing. And the thing I love the most about what's going on right now is with OpenRCT2. They've taken the community step even further, and you can actually log in online multiplayer. I don't know if you can play multiplayer. I didn't get far in this part. You definitely can log into other parks that other people have. I did not test to see if I could build anything on those parks.
Yeah.
But I feel like you probably can. I'm kind of obsessed with the idea of setting up my own Roller Coaster Tycoon server.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Do you have any interest in playing let's see, do I own it? No, I don't. Do you have any interest in playing the 25th anniversary Roller Coaster Tycoon game? It's just Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 Complete Edition. That came out in 2020 on PC, but isn't this still based on an old game though, right? Like, when did 3 come out originally? Hold on.
Like, let's 2000 see. 8 2004 2000 would that be 25 years?
It looks no. It's not 25. 3 must have been, well, if they say it's 25 in 2020, it had to be, right? Close to the field.
That's the problem. That's the one of the reasons why I said at the top of the show, if you want to know how to play the first Roller Coaster Tycoon and maybe even the second one, we'll tell you, and that's what we needed to do, because I didn't get deep into 3 and everything else, but there are so many versions out there. There's you can play this on mobile.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of quality of life things. Chris Sawyer came back and helped work on the mobile thing that added touchscreen support. I think that's the deluxe version that you'll see.
Yeah.
Has the touchscreen support, so you can play this on tablets, which is a lot of fun because, once again, like I said, not a lot of keyboard interfacing. Almost all of it reminded me very much of almost like Windows 3.1, because everything has a pop-up window. You'll click on you'll click on ride attractions that you want to build, and a little window will pop up, and it'll have a whole bunch of tabs you can choose from to get different data points, allow you to start rides, turn rides off, test rides. It's almost its own complete system of visual windows,
Windows ME.
So it's very, in other words, it's very mouse centric and not necessarily shortcut keyboard centric.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
with
so it lends itself to touchscreen.
I wish I could. Okay, so I just want to say something about these guys. Frontier Developments, that's who makes the newer stuff, the Planet Coaster stuff. They also made Zoo or Planet Zoo, and that's still popular. Yes. They made, like I said, Jurassic Park, but they also publish the Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. Two and one, they don't. They've clearly got some rights to this. This is what I would like them to do. Make a Planet Coaster 2. That's what I'm asking for. It's been since 2016. It still looks great. It's a beautiful game, but I think it's time. I own that game. I want to play it again. I think I might even install it after all our conversation this week. But listen up, fellas. It's time for you to innovate again. It's 2024, baby. Time to rock it. So anyway,
you'll have to pick up the torch, because Chris Sawyer, after I think he went back and he did a few things, but pretty much after Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, he kind of said, okay, I've done the things I want to do. And you can't blame him, because things were moving very rapidly when he was programming in assembly for the first one. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing that.
No,
nobody was. No sole developer was out there. He was a total unique unicorn as far as that goes in 1999. Nobody was freaking doing that.
No, not like that. Freaking assembly. Who was writing assembly? I think maybe the Doom guys were doing that, but that was earlier. Like, you know, 98. I guess whatever you're comfortable in, you just do what you do. But
yeah, you do what you do. So yeah, but he kind of was like, this whole 3D world is different systems, and it does take a totally different mindset to work inside of an engine versus talking, assembly, where you're pointing to memory instructions and saying, go here, go there, do this, be efficient. It's a really different concept. And I think you can really feel it in the game of how meticulous he is with every data point that would attach itself to another data point, and really smart in that way. And I don't think modern engines would give him that nice, good feeling that he probably got back then. So he's kind of stepped away from most of this.
Taz
even
says,
though he still owns the even though I think he still owns I don't think he still owns a lot of the rights to it. Yeah, so
yeah. Does he? He's still got, okay, keep that money rolling. Yes, in there, buddy.
He was smart, because you can watch some great interviews and some documentaries on Chris Sawyer in his development of this in Transport Tycoon, because he talks about he basically just made the games for himself. And then he had finished games and took it to publishers and said, I can make this game for you. And they go, okay. And so then he would allocate He'd go like, okay, so I got this many months to finish. And he would just like, you know, here's this part.
Mm.
But it's pretty much already done.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. So he was able to leverage all of that into making great deals. Because if you show up, there's a big difference between work for hire and selling a, you know, a finished product. You know, if you got a finished product, you come in, you sell it, you're like, boom, you have all the control. Because you've proved yourself, you're there. They don't have to invest anything into it other than, you know, to market it and that kind of low risk.
Taz
low
in the
risk,
chat right? says that RT or RCT Classic is great on iPad, although you kind of need a pencil. That's sort of a must. I'm looking at it now. I didn't even know this was a thing. For $6, I could own this. Maybe I'll do it.
Yes, it's $5.99. And I think Chris Sawyer, since he has still a say-so, I read some varying things, but the thing that I heard from Chris Sawyer was that he agreed to come back and work with the that stuff to kind of get it where it needed to be with the condition that they wouldn't have a bunch of microtransactions, because he likes it in the park, but he doesn't like it in the app.
Mm. I could see that, you know, he's an old school dude. Yeah. I get it. Let's see, this has been out since 2017. I might try that too. There's also Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch. What the hell is that?
I think that's the one that everybody shits on. Is that the one everybody shits on? I think
that's
the one.
This is like a typical free to play bullshit.
They take away
game.
A whole bunch of they take away a whole bunch of things like to for a name of to make it a function on the hardware. So I think it's only in spirit and skin that it operates. It's not that it uses.
It's also about a bunch of timers and shit. You got to wait for things. You got to buy coins to do certain stuff like this. This is mobile nightmare.
Don't go that way.
Yeah, I'm not playing that. I think I'm going to install Planet Coaster again, honestly.
I didn't realize how I literally took me almost 2 days this week before I even started playing for the first time for real, just because I had to go in and peek at all the freaking options of how you could play it now and what would be the closest to the original experience.
Right.
So here's a little breakdown real quick.
Give it to me.
In case you weren't listening, Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic and Deluxe, they'll give you the most authentic and nostalgic experience, closely adhering to the original gameplay mechanics. Mobile is more modernized and streamlined, but you know, you don't get everything necessarily. And if you play that stupid crap you just talked about, you get some monetization stuff.
Yeah.
Open RCT2 is definitely the way to go if you're just wanting to. It's nostalgia. It's got everything. You just need to make sure that you have the underlying game purchased either by CD or you purchase on Steam, good old games, wherever.
So if you want that the OG experience and what that felt like. But you want to do it on a modern display and, you know, a few other conveniences and quality of life things. That sounds like probably the way to go.
Yeah, it's definitely way
to go. I'm going to install that as well. I'm kind of it's, you know, once in a while we'll do a topic and I go, oh, that was great to play a couple times, but I'm good until now. Okay, what's our next one, right?
Yeah.
This is one of those where I'm going to get stuck for a while. I'm going to play them.
Yeah. I'm a little worried that I'm going to start a server. I'm worried.
You're going to have a server. So we got Unreal servers. We got a Planet Tycoon Roller Coaster Tycoon server going. What else, Brian?
I'd love to see that. We still have our Minecraft server from back in the day of another podcast. That thing still exists, believe it or not. The Final Score Minecraft server still out there, still going today, thanks to the community that supports it. We don't do anything for it other than mention it occasionally. So
who's running that for us or doing that? Do you know who that is?
I don't want to say because I don't want to get it wrong.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, it's been about 6 months since I checked in last. I'm a bad Minecrafter.
You're a terrible Minecrafter. You're the worst kind of Minecrafter.
I'm a bad Minecrafter.
Yeah, maybe you know, try and be better, Brian. Be better.
I need to be better.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's talk about two real quick, just as a brief thing. Hey, guess what, everybody? Two sounds like one. It's a little bit more like ambient stuff going on. More music, a little more stereo. He went a little crazier on that front, but it's still kind of it's what you expect out of a sequel like that.
You can paint more stuff. There's more objects. There's more scenarios. There's more of everything. The tutorials go a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very few quality of life improvements, like I said, like being able to build above and below ground and that kind of stuff with a lot more objects and double stacking stuff and There was some little greater community content. That's when we first started seeing the community content come into play. Mm-hmm. I did really like the way you could, the designer for the roller coaster. So I always had trouble having a park in the first one, having a park and then going, okay, I want to add a roller coaster and trying to manage that while at the same time managing the park itself.
Right, right.
So now you could, there's a specific place where you can go and you can, you know, build outside, like in a total empty void where you just build the ride. And then later on, you can put it into the park, which
right.
That's so much better.
That is
so
pretty cool.
A lot less pressure.
Yeah, I agree. I like that too. Those kind of quality of life things are meaningful in a game like this. So more of that, please. And also, you know, the more community behind it, the more cool stuff we're going to get. Hopefully, developers will keep making full blown games like this and not focus on freaking microtransaction loaded bullshit mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Like I said, I only want microtransactions to happen in my game, inside the game world.
Exactly. I want to buy a burger place on the corner of this place in the game. I want to sell these right here. Here's a burger for you. I'm going to sell this burger. It's fake, by the way.
Oh, that's a nice burger, though.
I had an Etsy guy make that.
I like that you had to tell me it was fake. Like, the way you were holding it, I was like, that's a real burger. He's got...
I mean, it looks like it's one of the... This guy makes them for restaurant displays, so you put them in under glass and stuff, so I bought one from this guy.
How did you get one?
I bought it. He makes them, sells them on Etsy, so... he's got all kinds of fake food.
I like this idea.
Little piece of pie on a plate, that kind of stuff.
You know how I know it's fake?
Mm.
It looks edible.
It looks a little too real, therefore it's fake. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Those are your games. They're great. Go play them, everybody. They're cheap by the way. Also cheap.
Yeah, that's because it's the 25th anniversary from the release of the original. Yeah, it's 1999. Now it's 2024. So, yeah, the only reason why I even brought it to the forefront of my mind is because Atari's been sending me emails over the last month going, oh, you got to get the signed lithograph roller coaster Tycoon 25th anniversary hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but I'll go play the game. Give Chris Sawyer maybe a little bit of money.
It's like, no, I don't really need that, but thanks for that.
No, but thank you.
Thank you so much, Atari. All right. I'm going to dump. I'm going to jump right to this.
Destroy it.
We're going to play a little Guess My Game. It's a game where we play old audio from an old game. We tell each other the date, that is the year, and the platform. And then we have five guesses or five choices to choose from.
So we can guess each other's game. I only got four choices.
Oh, my gosh. Look at you. Oh, yeah, you're right. We only do four. I didn't mean to suggest there was an E on here. There's no E.
E, all of the above.
Yeah, there's only A through D. Brian, I'm going to start with mine. This is going to be a little tricky this week, I think. I've decided I've been going too easy. You've been getting too good at this. All right.
Dang, I went the other way because I was like, I've been doing too hard. And I was like, maybe I need to go easier. We'll see.
We're about to find out. This is the year 1980, and we are in the arcade. Okay?
Ooh.
Here's your sound, and then we'll talk about what we think. Here we go.
Somebody just ate Pac-Man.
I know. It does sound like Pac-Man's having a ghost problem. Okay. There is your basic exposure to the audio, and I will give you your choices, and then I will play some more, because it kind of all sounds the same.
Give me.
Your options are A, Ozma Wars, B, Radar Scope, C, Star Raiders, or D, Temple of Afshay. Now, here's the important thing.
Asfay,
how do you say it? Here's the thing to note. Great. All four of these came out in 1980. Okay? 79, 80, but mostly 80.
Only one's a Nintendo game, right?
Well, that's for you to decide. I don't know. I'm not telling you any of that. Remember, it's just now you just have to choose. So here's some more sound.
Okay, I got it.
All right.
And you're going to be amazed by how I know.
All right.
But rewind that last little bit of music you just played.
Back here. Let's see. Hold on.
That gives it away.
Does it?
If I'm right. I'm right.
All right.
I don't think it's Ozma Wars. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah,
that's see, a game. Sounds like Star Raiders. That sounds good, but I don't. Was that even at the arcade?
It was.
D Temple of Abshay.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Also at the arcade.
What it does sound like. Yeah. What it does sound like is Donkey Kong, which I believe they put Donkey Kong in Radar Scope arcade machines. If I remember our Donkey Kong episode correctly, am I even close?
So you're hearing the.
Yep.
Damn it, you're a bastard. You got it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know my arcade.
I was worried about it because I do this too. Like if I'll pull up our Atari games and they all use that chip for a long time and they all sounded the same.
Yeah.
So yeah. I always kind of can narrow it down better. And I thought I was going to get you on this, but you got it. Woo! Nicely done.
Yeah, baby. You know how I know that? Mm. Because I do this show. Mm. That's the only reason why I knew. That was a Radar Scope.
Well, freaking done, I would say to you.
But you did make it harder. If I hadn't have pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah, right out of your arse, big old drippy. Yes, wet.
I love doing ball. This, and I'm sorry I guessed it.
No, don't be sorry. You did good.
I got lucky.
Let's see how I do with yours. tell me what I'm looking at here. What's my basics?
All right. This is we'll play a little bit of the music, and then I'll welcome to guess my game. Yeah. And mine is going to be from the NES platform.
Yeah.
The year was 1986, and I want Scott to tell me if it's one of the following choices. Play a little bit of the audio, and then I'll give you your options here.
All right, here we go.
NES, 1986.
All right, give me my options.
All right, this is from the NES. It had a lot of titles that were movie tie-ins. We've actually done a podcast episode on that one as well. I don't know if we covered any of these. I don't remember doing... Did we do some of these? Anyway, all right, here's your choices.
Okay, go.
Willow.
Okay.
B.
Okay.
Beetlejuice. This one, Beetlejuice. C. Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Or D. The Goonies.
Oh my gosh, they're all movie-based titles. Did these all exist, and are they in the same year or no?
They all exist. I believe they all existed between 1984 and 1987.
That would make sense because 84 was Gremlins, I think.
Right.
But Beetlejuice was like 86, 87. I forget.
Right. I'm so excited about Beetlejuice the movie.
Oh, no. Gremlins 2 is later, though. All right. I got to hear this again. Hold on. It sounds devious, so I'm gonna narrow this down.
All right,
this is either Beetlejuice or Gremlins. Don't think it's Willow. It's not the right tone. Goonies could be, but I don't remember there even being a Goonies game. I could be wrong on that. I'm gonna hope that it's. This is a total toss-up. I'm tossing a coin here. You know what? I am going to toss a coin.
Ooh, why don't you toss a burger? Heads. Just see if you can toss
right,
that burger.
Here we go. Tossing the burger.
Heads,
here
or,
we
heads go. Or tails on the burger.
All right, I picked heads. I got tails. That means that's going to go to Gremlins 2. Is it correct?
You got the ass bun?
The ass bun.
Yeah.
Ah,
I'm sorry.
What is it? Is it Beetlejuice?
Really, I made it too hard again. I thought I was making it easier because we've talked about it 100 times, and then you're like, I wasn't even on there. The Goonies from the NES.
Oh, there was a Goonies game. I didn't know they made one.
Frick. Yeah, Goonies 2 is actually a classic, and it's one of the ones I came this close to saying we should do Goonies 2 for next week's episode of Play Retro. And that's the reason why I was digging back through the Goonies. Apologies. I thought it was going to be easier, but now that I see.
None needed. I should have gotten it. Chat's asking. Let me just get rid of this distraction.
I don't think
quick.
The chat got it either. But I
they're
was
asking what my they're asking what this glove is on my hand. This is not because my hand hurts. It's not like a medical thing. This is my drawing glove, and I just left it on for the show. I forgot I had it on.
Scott's a superhero. You didn't know that?
No, you guys not know. I take these things. I actually bought this one this way. But usually, what I'll do is buy some cheap gloves and then cut fingers and thumb out of it, and then I've got basically this. So it's good for like, you know, screens, even paper. I'll use this.
Even paper?
You ever seen paper? But this one is made for this. So you buy them without the fingers and the thumb. And it's like $8 will get you like 20 of these or something.
I, I thought it was some kind of new power glove is what I thought it was. I thought
power glove. The power's in your hands,
the
gamers.
The power's in your pinky and ring finger.
That's right. That's what I always was told. All right, well done on that.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Time for the listener feedback on the show. We got a text and an email today. Text come to us at 801-471-0462. Taz wrote in. He's in the chat as well today, I believe.
Oh, hi, Taz.
Yep, there he is. He says, it's my anime glove. Thanks, Taz. he says, for Play Retro, my first experience with Roller Coaster Tycoon was playing it at the CompUSA store on a 4x3 Dell while my parents shopped. I was hooked from those 20 or 30 minutes and have been a fan ever since, says Taz. Yeah, man, when you lock in on something around the right age, you know, and it just everything about whatever it is you're playing, especially in games, and it just sticks to you. Yeah. You'll be a fan for the rest of your life. You'll never not want to play it. You know,
I miss going to CompUSA, man. That was always super fun. All those PCs, just such a dream.
Yeah.
To be able to walk into a CompUSA or a place like that where you could just PCs just running the latest games, mm-hmm. the games you wanted at your house that you couldn't afford. Right there on display.
No, CompUSA ruled. I was a huge fan. I had friends that worked there, so they get me some cool stuff sometimes. Bought my first MP3 player there. It was like a Diamond Rio, like the 128
Oh, yeah, the
meg.
Diamond Rio crap. God, I hated those. Loved them so much.
Yep. Almost bought, or no, I bought an HD TV or an HD DVD drive there. And this was before they tried to push that DivX thing, which is a whole different animal, and that never worked out. And then what else did I ever get? I think I got a car stereo there once when I was like 20-something.
Yeah.
And then it all went away.
Then it all went away. Just like that, your big box store disappeared. All you have left now is Best Buy. And I'm curious what people feel about that. I went into Best Buy not that long ago, one this a couple of hours away. It's one of the larger ones in the area. Mm-hmm. And they had like a bunch of the arcade one-up machines and things on display for playing around. And I'm like, oh, this is probably inspiring some kids. Sometime in the future to come out and play it. I remember when when the Move thing was a real big thing. Mm-hmm. Remember when Move was a big thing? I loved that. Wasn't that long ago. That was
no,
the last
the Move
really
sucked
had.
Though, man.
It was
better than
a
the
cool
Wii
concept.
It was better than the Wii controllers, but it was, they never did shit with it. This is the problem with peripherals like this. And the reason I don't even like mid console bumps, like the PlayStation Pro 5, PS5 Pro that'll come out this fall, seemingly confirmed. It's great and all because the specs look awesome. They did this with PS4 and Xbox One as well, and it looked like a sizable jump, but nothing really came out of it because they can't alienate their existing player base. So you just kind of end up in an average place. I guess it's fine for new buyers. That's fine. But they're not going to go crazy with it, or else everybody with an existing PS5 is going to go, hang on a second. I got in line on day one and supported. You know what I mean?
I always love your outraged impression. I love it.
That guy, you don't want to spend any time with this guy I made up. He's an ass.
No, you don't. Yeah. You'd rather spend it with Taz for 20 to 30 minutes playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, which by the way, like that was my experience too, Taz. When Roller Coaster Tycoon came out, there was no, I don't know if it was just sheer marketing willpower or if it was just they were giving out copies to wherever that they could run it, put it in a cereal box, put it, get one free when you order some pizza rolls. You know, it's like, it's a pizza rolls or your Roller Coaster Tycoon. I'd love to hear from you guys if you would, because I know that was like the heyday of CD distribution.
Oh, yeah.
It was around like 99. It's like super cheap. That was the best way to distribute it. Get it in the hands of any kids you could. Yep. I'd love to hear some stories.
Your friends. That's how they'd get it and play it and have it. I'll admit to a little of that tomfoolery back then.
Love it.
Anyway, thanks for that, Taz. We also got an email from Santos in Brooklyn, New York, who says, hey guys, just found your podcast and quickly became a fan. Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
I was listening to your Metroid episode Metroid episode.
Oh, wow.
And one of you mentioned the Captain N cartoon show. Pretty sure it was Brian.
That's a long, that's an early episode too. Thank you for going back and listening to the archive, Santos. Oh,
yeah,
yes,
it's like
nice.
First 10, I think, or something.
Yeah, yeah. Captain N cartoon, yes.
Yeah, he says, he made me wonder, or this made me wonder, if either of you guys remembered the game show called Video Power and the cartoon related to it called The Power Team. The Power Team show had characters such as Max Force, Narc, Kuros from Wizards and Warriors, Quirk, a character that looked like a tomato with shades of a mohawk, with shades and a mohawk, Tyrone, which was arch rivals, and Bigfoot from the monster truck who talks, or it wasn't a game called that, but it was a character, a monster truck that talked. Keep up the good work. Thanks for all the memories. I never saw any of this shit. I think I remember Video Power, but I don't remember this cartoon that was tied into it. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember this early 90s stuff. And oh my gosh, the monster truck. I kind of forgot about Bigfoot, the monster truck that talked in that. But
Called Bigfoot in that?
Tomato. Was he called Bigfoot? I can't remember. I'm just getting flashes of it.
Because that was that's a name brand ass monster truck.
Oh, Bigfoot. Oh man, during the early 90s, Bigfoot was licensing the shit out of itself. It's like, yeah, I'm Bigfoot, big blue monster truck. What do you want? We want cartoons.
Yeah,
the kids love us.
It's like, no problem, I'll do whatever you want. I'm cheap. There's that
so
way.
So many Bigfoots.
Yeah,
but Max Force. Oh God, yes, we need to go back. Sam, thank you for bringing up that memories. I need to go back and do that. I was looking at. I picked up a new Sony VCR DVD this past week. Did I talk about it last week? Did I get it
so.
That day last week? I don't think I did. But I got a new one. And it's high quality, man. It's got auto tracking and everything. I paid like $20 for it because it said the VCR didn't work. And I was like, okay, well, let me make sure it's not a belt or something simple. So I popped a few screws on it, popped it off. Somebody had stuck in a kid's refrigerator magnet. It was stuck to the top of it. And I guess it was impeding the ability to put the tape in it. Yeah. And so I was like, yoink, yoink. And it worked perfect, man. It is the best looking VCR I have. It's got HDMI output. It upscales. I watched Monsters, Inc. this past week. It looked phenomenal for a VHS.
Well, for a VHS, yes.
I need to watch some of those cartoons.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. As good as a VHS. Hey, man, there was a while when you only could, the only way you could get, there was like high definition VHSs, believe it or not. It was, they did okay. Yeah,
All right. Power Team cartoon? Let's see.
Power Team cartoon. We need to watch
full series compilation. Oh my gosh, we could watch this. Hold on, let's see.
Yeah.
Can I hear some of this? Let me hear some of this. Okay, hold on. Let's just hear it.
You have helped these men try to steal the treasure of Plutonk.
Treasure.
It's the mummy of King Flut.
They're all in here, dude.
Yeah, baby, I'm loving this. Yeah, I kind of forgot about this. This is good.
All right. We will put it on the list of things we'd like to do.
Yeah.
Thanks for your email. Emails again, playretroshow@gmail.com. And once again, the text/voicemail line is 801-471-0462 or 801-471-0GOB.
GOB.
I don't have another good way thing to... Core fans will know about the 10 hams problem. I don't want to talk to you. 10 hams doesn't work. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. Hey, Brian, let's do a quick one of these here deals.
Ludicrous kill.
It's the Unreal report. Let's talk about that. What's going on in our Unreal server life?
All right. So, hey, this may be the final Unreal report for a little while. That's because me and Scott have gotten kind of busy. It happens this time of year. Scott's getting ready to head out to Vegas and just life in general. We might not be doing the Unreal report going forward for a little while.
Doesn't mean we won't play change. Unreal. It's just that we
know
it's just when the report features me dropping a rung every damn day, it's because I haven't had time to play. It's just like, well, what's the point of telling everybody where I am on this list? It's not going to work out.
It's kind of been the same top five people for a while on both servers. So, you know, it's fine. There's actually some more things we would like to report on, you know, because there's a lot of things going on in the community. So don't think we'll get rid of the community report, but the Unreal report may be kind of piled into that later.
Maybe
on.
We'll
but,
call yeah, it the retro. We'll call it the retro report.
The retro report.
And there it you will go. Be the retro all report. Everything. It's like, hey, we found out from some of the community with what they did some crazy shit in Minecraft this week. What'd they do? Or hey,
yes.
Did you hear what those guys did with the mod for the thing, which made I don't know Luigi naked for the whole game? Sweet. Let's talk about whatever it is you guys are doing. We'll try to include that in this thing. Okay.
Yes, it's going to be good. But RetroGIB.com if you want more information about the Unreal games and the servers that we're playing. So we were playing on Mondays and Friday nights. We can't always guarantee that right now, but we might get back that. You know how it is. You ebb and flow. You're in and out. You kind of play those things. But the servers are still going to be maintained. I'm still going to keep those up. So please play them and let me know if you're getting on there with a group of people. Maybe I can pop in and play. Maybe Scott got pop in and play too. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not going anywhere. Servers aren't going anywhere. They're staying where they are.
I will definitely be playing more. I just got to, it's just time.
I know you got the Monday show and that kind of interferes with that. And then Friday nights get kind of busy and we just got to move some stuff around. It's good.
Yeah.
We're gamers. This is how it works.
I'd play tonight if I didn't have to go to this stupid wedding party. I don't want to go.
Stupid wedding party. I mean, I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be playing my Delta emulator on my iPhone.
Look, I love my niece as much as anybody could, but I'd rather play video games than go to this party.
No one wants to go to your wedding.
I really don't want to go.
We're doing it as a sacrifice, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's about you, and I'm there because I love you.
Yeah.
Don't expect anything
Keep
else.
All this in mind, everyone. Elope. I said, you know, Ambassador Domo's got it right. Elope, abso-freaking-lutely elope. I would love that if they did that. They're not going to, though.
Oh, my God.
My sister does this stuff big. There is no eloping. It's not happening.
I don't know at what point in time, especially in the U.S., that things have changed in our minds, but I know that it used to be like big wedding, big funerals. And now everybody's like, cremate me, use the extra money to party. And it's like, elope, small wedding. Let's get on with it. Let's stop spending. Let's stop getting $20,000 in debt before we're even married.
Yeah.
You know, and $20,000 in debt when you're dead to leave to your kids. Yeah. Let's stop that.
I've said this since I got married. If Kim and I could do it over again, we would have eloped because there was really no advantage. We just spent a ton of money and really didn't get anything back. I got a lot of pairs of pants. I got a lot of jeans.
They always tell you this, the memories. You know, he tells you that. The camera people.
Yeah.
Big camera wants you to get married.
That's right.
The memories.
Yep. And when I die, just
put
me in old people's brownies and leave it alone. Be done.
Spread me on my Commodore 64 breadboard and blow me off.
That's what I say. That's exactly right. Brian, you and I are in the same boat. Let's do it. That's how we're going to die. Slowly.
I didn't say I wanted to die. I'm just talking about my remains.
Hey, I got some good news, everybody. Good news for everybody listening to the show. Next week, we're going to talk about Dig Dug and its terrible sequel. Dig Dug's important, though. Dig Dug's a big deal. Dig Dug 2, massive mistake. It's not great. And I don't blame them because they were trying new things. Joust did the same thing. Joust, all-time favorite of mine. First episode we ever did was about Joust. I revere Joust until my dying breath, like we just talked about. But I'll tell you what, Joust 2, not as good of a game. It just isn't.
Mm.
And that's what happened with Dig Dug. But Dig Dug, or the original Dig Dug, powerfully important, influential as hell, fun as hell back in the day. It's time for Dig Dug to get his time.
It really is. And we forget that there was, you know, just like a lot of iterations of things that kind of came in and out of favor. There was a glut for a short period of time, like between, you know, the early 80s, mid 80s, where you had a bunch of digger games. And I actually put a post on Twitter today, or X, whatever you want to call it, asking for people's favorites, their favorite digger type game. I asked about Dig Dug, The Pit, Balder Dash. What was the other one that I asked about here? I've already forgotten. There was one more. Wait, what was it? Scott, quick, tell me. What was the other one in my
Well, bowl? For me, SteamWorld Dig. The two SteamWorld Dig games don't exist
Mr.
without Dig Dug.
That was the other Mr. one. How did I forget Mr. Do?
Yeah, Mr. Do would remember Mr. Do if you can remember him.
Yeah. I had some really funny answers, too, but we'll talk about that next week. But Dig Dug definitely won out. Balder Dash may get a mention. And Mr. Do, he do what he do.
Mr. Do what he do. It's going to do it for us. Big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. We got two new folks this week, SEB or Seb and Greg Beauregard. Both joined us. They get no commercials ever. They get pre-show content every week, including today. We talked a lot about RG58XXs, another cool Ambernick business in our pre-show. So check that out. You also get monthly benefits you can only have if you sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. For those asking us to record more of us watching X-Men 97 or even the old 90s X-Men when we're done, we're talking. We'll figure it out. I'd love to do more of that.
Yeah, we need to do it. We just got to find the time. It, unfortunately, this is the tightest time that me and Scott probably have is the next couple of weeks, right?
It's rough. Things will loosen up in June for me. May is still pretty crazy, but we're going to figure it out. We want to. We'd like to. We will. All right. That's going to do it for us. Brian, any final words before I throw this thing into overdrive?
Well, I was going to go, woo, but I know Discord cuts me off.
Stupid Discord. We'll see you guys next week. Go play something retro, you weirdos.
Click, click.
Click.
Click. Ah! Where's the bathroom?
Get more at frogpants.com.
My kids lost their lunch on that roller coaster you built.